235. 235 is God owns the cattle. How many of y'all know that song? Okay, how many of y'all have been in junior church? Okay, it's an oldie but a goodie. So we're going to sing that. God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. God owns the cattle on a thousand hills, the wealth in every mud. He owns the rivers and the rocks and rills, the sun and stars that shine. Wonderful riches more than tongue can tell. He is my Father, so they're mine as well. God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. I know that He will care for me. All right, let's sing that one more time. God owns the cattle on a thousand hills, the wealth in every mine. He owns the rivers and the rocks and rills, the sun and stars that shine. Wonderful riches more than tongue can tell. He is my Father, so they're mine as well. God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. I know that He will care for me. Good deal.
Amen. Well, that was new for me too. Enjoyed that. It's good. Well, it's good to see you tonight. Trust you had a restful afternoon. Ready to worship the Lord again this evening. Please pray for Brother Little as he comes and preaches for us in a little bit. And, of course, the reception to follow afterwards. I don't know, do you call it a reception? Or what do you call it when you're having one of these? Or somebody's... It's a celebration, John said. No, I don't think so. No, not at all. We're grateful for God's mercy. We're thankful for... we all understand, we're happy that the Lord is giving the Littles this opportunity. And so we're praying for them. Marsh and I have been praying for them, of course, daily, looking for God to do great things in and through them. Let's take a couple minutes and shake some hands.
Okay, let's turn to page 411. 411. I have a message from the Lord.
I have a message from the Lord, hallelujah. The message unto you I'll give. 'Tis recorded in His word, hallelujah. It is only that you look and live. Look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. 'Tis recorded in His word, hallelujah. It is only that you look and live.
Let's sing the second.
I've a message full of love, hallelujah. A message, oh my friend, for you. 'Tis a message from above, hallelujah. Jesus said it and I know 'tis true. Look and live, my brother, live. Jesus now and live. It's recorded in His Word, hallelujah. It is only that you look and live.
Let's sing the last.
I will tell you how I came, hallelujah, to Jesus when He made me whole. 'Twas believing on His name, hallelujah, I trusted and He saved my soul. Look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. 'Tis recorded in His Word, hallelujah, it is only that you look and live.
Good singing. Turn over to 485, please. Let's sing the first, second, and last.
This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. Then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me, and now I onward go. I know He'll take me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
On the fourth, just up in glory land,
eternally, the saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their songs of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Good singing. You can be seated.
All right, gentlemen, if you'll take your places, we'll receive this evening's offering. And I'd like to invite everyone with us tonight to stay afterwards for the reception for the littles, and give the huggy huggies and kissies kissies and all that other kind of stuff. There's a little secret that most people don't know. He loves to get wet willies in his left ear. So sneak up on his left side and get him. There you go. Right there. He'll love you forever. Coming up here April 2nd, we are going to have our youth yard sale. So if you ready for the stuff to be brought, bring it up. If you need some help getting it, let me know. I'll come get it. That's going to be our one and only fundraiser for camp. In times past, it has paid for the entire camp. The Lord has blessed with this, and so looking forward to that. Next Sunday is Easter Sunday. As an opportunity to, well, folks will come to church on Easter when they won't come any other time. So this week might be a good time to put a little extra effort in inviting somebody to come to church, okay? Ladies of the King Banquet, they had the meeting this morning, so scratch that one. So, good on that? Good on that. All right, let's pray. Lord, thanks so much for us today. Thank you for everything you've given us today, Lord. Thank you for the wonderful service we had this morning, Lord. Lord, again, just thank you for this time of year, the time of refreshing, the time of renewal, Lord. Lord, right now I ask you to be with the offering you're about to receive, be with the gift and the giver. Lord, be with Brother Little tonight. Lord, give him freedom. And Lord, hide him behind the cross. Yeah. And Lord, you give him his words, not his words, but you give him the words you want him to say. But Lord, please prepare our hearts. Ask these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. Well, Brother Allen's going to come. But, you know, I just wanted some of y'all know that don't know where Ohio is. You go north, and then you come to this place where there's a great gulf affixed. And Ohio's, yeah, somewhere around there. In the land of my dear wife's birth, so I want to be careful what I say. And, yes, you know, and, of course, as I say that, my mother-in-law lives in Ohio, so I do have to be careful. They will be moving to an area, South Canton. It's about an hour from where my in-laws, my Marcia's mother, lives. So I'm going to haunt him. When we go to Ohio next time, we'll be checking things out there. And I want to make sure I fill the church in there about anything that they haven't learned on their own by then. And no, of course, we love the Littles, and we're going to miss them desperately. And that's all I'm going to say, because I don't, and I'm not going to kiss him. And Brother Allen, please come and preach.
Amen, Pastor. I'm going to go ahead and get these. I'm about to use them. My boys, where are you sitting at? No kissy kissies. Okay, you know your youth pastor said, girls, they are not allowed to kiss you. Old ladies, you can kiss them, okay? All right? And none of y'all are old if you sit in the first four rows, unless you're Miss Teresa. Okay? All right. I didn't mean it that way. I didn't mean it that way, sister. You know what I'm saying? Amen. Amen. First of all, before we get spiritual, let me say, Pastor, it is my honor and my privilege to be your second man for a second time. When you surrender your life to the ministry, you surrender your life to God to say, yes, sir. You don't ask why. You follow the command that the Lord gives you. Sometimes those commands are easy. Sometimes those commands are difficult. And when you work for a man and a pastor and in a ministry like this, decisions to follow his will to Ohio is difficult. Because you leave a mentor, you leave a tremendous ministry, and you leave tremendous friends of the faith that we have in here with you guys. In our 2 years that we've been together, some of you are closer to me than my own family. Definitely my pastor and his wife are closer to me than a lot of my close kin. But it's been an honor, sir. And thank you for putting that trust in me. I remember whenever God called us to come down from Wichita Falls to Metropolitan Baptist Church, people said, "You are crazy. You're leaving Wichita Falls, Texas, and Brookdale Senior Living and all of that to move to Fort Worth? You have to be crazy. You're giving up all of this to go there for that." And I was like, you know what? The Lord's calling us to go, and we did. I was kind of concerned. I had to be honest with y'all about this. I loved what I did at Brookdale Senior Living. Brookdale Senior Living is an assisted living facility for independent living, assisted living, and Alzheimer's. I really enjoyed going to different facilities and going in and visiting with the old women that were in there. We would have great conversations. You'd go in and you'd have a great, tremendous conversation, and then next month when you went in again, they would forget that conversation and they would rehab that conversation with you. You'd go in and their hair would be purple one time, and they would ask how their hair looked, and you would say, "It looks beautiful." And it would be blue the next time, and it would be curly and straight, and it just looked so nice. And we'd just have a good old time. And I was telling my wife, I said, "Wifey, I am literally going to miss my time with them crazy old women at Brookdale Senior Living. I'm just going to miss that." Well, you know, the Lord gave it to me when we came here with a group of ladies right over here on the side. I tell you what, I have just enjoyed my time with them old women. And over here, there's a couple over here, I'm not going to say. You know, and there's a few in the center. One has moved over on this side, used to sit on this side, but is waving a fan back and forth, not going to say any names. I just have really enjoyed my fellowship with you ladies. And you want to know why I love it? Because I give it, and you give it right back. You don't perch up like an old, what did that guy say at lunch today? An old banny rooster? He was talking about an old banny rooster, you know? And you can handle it being called a heifer. I appreciate that. I really do. No, but I'm going to miss our conversations, ladies. You know, we have something special here at Metropolitan Baptist Church because we have some very strong women. We have some women who have lost their husbands, who've lost their foundations in this life and in this world. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, one of the things that it said, God said to Eve, "Your affection will not now be towards me, it's going to be towards your husband." And when these women went through that loss, that emptiness that's inside of there, they turned their affection back to God, and it's seen in their faithfulness to their ministry. Days that they don't feel good, they still get up and they get dressed. They still apply that makeup. They make their hair perfect. Why? Not in hopes of impressing a man, not impressing a friend, but because their affection is to the Lord. We have some very powerful women in here tonight. And you've been a blessing to this preacher. And ladies, I appreciate you so very much. Metropolitan Baptist Church holds a lot of great memories for me. And it's important that you continue your ministry. Because in this baptistry behind me, my little boy was baptized. Amen. Benjamin accepted the Lord of Christ as a Savior at camp this last year. And Metropolitan Baptist Church will be his church home. This will be his youth group. This will be his youth department. And he was dunked in that tank right behind us. Here a couple of days ago, I drove by what you would call my Bethel. A place where I made and fortified my decisions for Christ. I am going to live for Christ despite what happens to me, despite what the world says to me. I believe that Christ is worth serving and worth living for, and I surrendered my life. But that building remains an old, broken down memory of what used to be. Church family, don't let Metropolitan be that way for my son, who comes back to visit the place where he made his commitment to Christ. Continue that on. Metropolitan holds a lot of great memories, from vacation Bible school to the massive lines of people outside the door on a hot day, and workers that you wouldn't believe all over this place. Why? So a child can receive the gospel. We have tremendous workers in our Sunday school department, from a parent who has a disabled child, and as you go into a new churches, you have people who look at our disabled child and they don't know what to do, with a look of fright and a look of scared. Here is a child in a wheelchair. Now how do we take care of this child? And now we're saying, take care of her while we now go enjoy a service. That's the most uncomfortable feeling, that you're taking a helpless individual and putting in an incompetent person's hand and you sit on their face. Did you know that day one, when Brother Mike and Miss Janice Zimmerman, we rolled Cheyenne in there inside her wheelchair, there's this big loaf of a man, Brother Mike, at that soft little voice down in little Cheyenne's face, will welcome the class. And then his wife takes her by the hand. Oh, we got this. You go head on. We got this. And they take little Cheyenne and they take her away into class. And then as she's grown up through the ranks, the teaching that's been there, phenomenal Sunday school teachers, tremendous youth pastor. Now, I realize that y'all don't love me as much as you love my children and my family. You hate to see them go more than me. I'm okay with that. The church is hiring me because of my family, not because of me. Amen? But with that being said, there's a lot of tremendous memories that we've made here as a church. And all of those have been made because you opened up your hearts to us. Brother Stan, I'm going to miss our morning talks. Reminiscing about old bus ministry days, man, when you'd go out and pick up them kids. Amen. That front door, you're never allowed to touch a door at this church. That makes an impression. Whether you come in on the side or you come in through the front door, you greeter men are always there to open the door to let us in. The song service blew us away when we first came to Metropolitan Baptist Church. The choir. When you guys sing and when you're on, it is awesome. When you're off, guess what? It's still awesome. Amen? Brother John has one of the most talented voices of anybody I know. I encourage him to sing solos more often because he has such a powerful voice. Tremendous song leader, man. Just go for it, brother. Tell you what, you guys are just an inspiration to me. And you know, any ministry can't be successful without a woman being there, right there by the pastor's side. And Miss Turner, you are a beautiful example of Proverbs 31. You are a tremendous pastor's wife. You're strong. You're compassionate. And I appreciate you so much. Friends in here who opened up your lives to us and our families, I say thank you. You are definitely going to be missed so much. And so as I go into my last sermon, I wanted to have something that would encourage you to live for Christ as I follow God's call for our family and for our lives. And for those of you in ministry, you understand this call. It itches at you. It turns you in bed at night. And it's something that you just cannot run from. And I feel that's what God is calling us to. Now, again, preacher calls this a great divide. I have no idea where we're going, amen? And I just know we're going. And I feel bad that I may now have a baby that is going to be born outside of Oklahoma or Texas. That's a scary thought for me, okay? But at least we still have OU, okay? We still have OU we can hold on to. And then lastly, my coworkers. I ran April off. Sorry about that. That was my fault. And then my friend, Brother Curtis. You know, we pick on Brother Curtis a lot, and we joke with him because he jokes back with us. But he is such a man of God. Amen. We'll spend hours in my office discussing a Bible verse and its interpretation and how he's going to apply it inside of a teenager's life or inside somebody else's life. And I'm going to miss that man. Amen. I'm going to miss you. You're my friend. Ministry's hard because you can't have friends sometimes. And Brother Curtis, you're my friend. You are a man of God. And I appreciate you very, very much. I know your wife holds you back. And so I pray for her. Miss Janice, ever since you came on board with us, you do so much with our missions. And when we were down as secretary, you just picked up the ball and kept the office rolling. You never have a bad attitude. No matter how many times I call you and ask you for something or do something, or even when I'm playing with you, thank you for bringing the candy bowl back out. I appreciate that, sister. And that is a blessing to me. You don't know what it's like to come in and after the devil's been beating on you, to see your face and your encouragement in the office. I appreciate that. Judy, you are crazy. That is all I got to say. And sister, you are a blessing to me. Being there in the office and sacrificing your time and always being that encouragement to do whatever, you're a blessing. And then Miss Teresa, I didn't get to work with you much, but what I've had, I've enjoyed it. You are a tremendous administrator. And preacher, is it too late to ask for a raise? I have a week left. Can I get some kind of a raise? No, I'm joking. Yeah, give me a raise out the door. For those of you who don't know, I have an inside track to the ministry with our pastor that most people won't see. You won't see his prayer life. You won't see his hours of study in his office. You won't hear the hundreds of phone calls that he'll get or the trying times it goes through. You only see what's placed before you. But you have a man of God leading you in your church. And I appreciate that. I'm so thankful knowing that I'm going to Ohio, but I know that I can call him anytime. Anytime. And Brother Daniel, get this. I can say, I need a pencil. And he will be there for me. So I appreciate you, preacher. Woo. All right. Sound man, are you ready? Amen. No, I'm joking, brother. Booth guys, get your hand on the camera because we don't mess with the sound, man. We're going to be running you today, all right? I hope you ate your Wheaties, buddy, all right? Because we're going to have fun tonight. Amen. All right. If you would, take your Bibles for me. Turn to the book of Philippians, chapter number 3 and verse number 14. Philippians, chapter number 3 and verse number 14. I need a couple of men who can read out loud a couple of verses for me as we go through here. The message is short tonight, and so to keep it even shorter, I'll just have you read some of the verses that I'll reference here. But I have any men that would be willing to read Bible verses for me? If you would you raise your hand? All right, Brother Bruce Martin, 1 Corinthians 9:24. Brother Bruce Martin, 1 Corinthians 9:24. All right, I have another one. Brother Abernathy, and congratulations on that little girl, my brother. All right. James 1:18. James 1:18, Brother Chase. All right. Pastor, would you mind reading a verse for me?
Sure.
Hebrews 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And I have two more. Brother John Davison, James 1:12. And then Brother Mark Davison, 2 Timothy 4:8. You know what? Go ahead and read verse number 7 too. 2 Timothy 4:7 and 8. So I got Brother Bruce Martin reading 1 Corinthians 9:24. Brother Chase Abernathy, James 1:18. Pastor, Hebrews 12 verses 1 and 2. James 1:12, Brother John, and Brother Mark, 2 Timothy 4:7 and 8. And then for the rest of us, let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Philippians, chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. All right, Philippians chapter number 3, verse number 13. There's a couple of sayings that y'all might be familiar with. Have you heard this one before? It is better to aim at something and miss than to aim at nothing at all and hit it. It is better to aim at something and miss rather than aiming at nothing and hitting it. And my question tonight to you, Metropolitan Baptist Church, and you as an individual, I'm talking to the person that's sitting in the seat tonight. Do you have a purpose? Do you have a purpose, and do you live your life on purpose? Amen. You hear me, young people? Do you have a purpose for living? Well, then, if you have a purpose for living, do you live that life on purpose? Why did you wake up today? Why are you going to wake up tomorrow? Why are you going to go to school and gain an education? Why are you going to go do your career? What is your purpose? For some, it's a paycheck. For others, it's a knowledge. But what is your purpose? Now, granted, let's throw career out, let's throw education away, and let's bring in one scope and let's put it into one thing tonight, and spiritually. Do you live your life on purpose?
Well, then what is your purpose tonight? Did you know that the Christian faith is hard work? Man, it's hard work to be a Christian. I don't know about you, but man, it is a battle to read your Bible and have a prayer life when the devil and your flesh don't want to. It's hard work to go out and try to witness to people, share the gospel, and I realize that Timothy tells us that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. Sometimes that verse ain't rehearsed in your heart when you are afraid to give the gospel at times. What is your purpose? Hard work, man, is the thing that makes a ministry grow. And where do you get that strength to do that? You get it from the Lord. Listen to this next statement that I read. It was pretty interesting. It says success. Joshua chapter number 1 and verse number 8 gives us the only time success is mentioned in the Bible. How interesting of a verse. But success says this. Success is hard people get it, and it's what lazy people want. Success, hard working people get it, and it's something lazy people want. It's hard work. Now, I don't mean to offend anybody. I don't mean to make anyone upset with this statement that I'm about to say. And please don't take it in a negative way. I'm just going to show you how something has changed in the generation of Christians that we have today. And you know who I'm talking about? I'm talking to you if you're 40 years old and younger. Okay? This is meant for you if you're 40 years old and younger. If you're 40 years old and older, I'm not talking about you because this is the positive. Outside right now, we have a building that a storm tore apart. And in the generation that we live in today, if we would be that generation that was 40 plus, did you know that thing would have been already repaired before next Sunday service? My grandfather would have made sure that if something broke at the house of God, it was up there and he was fixing it. Did you know that he would be up there mowing the grass of the church or fixing whatever he could in the house of God because that was the generation that he was from? Did you know that my grandfather, before he would go out and purchase a boat, he would make sure all his bills were paid? Did you know that my grandfather knew that he would die probably before grandma, and he put things away in order so that when he died, she wouldn't have to live on Social Security alone? I say that that's a hard-working generation. Now, if you are the 40-plus generation, you want the job and you want to already be the manager of that job without having swept the floor so you can tell somebody to sweep the floor. You want to go out and get the loan on the new car and on the big house and on the boat and get yourself in so much debt because you deserve those things without the hard work. God built our bodies to work physically. And my question to us spiritually, if that change has happened outside of a spiritual realm, how much change has happened in a church realm with our 40-plus men and women? I'm talking to you young families. I'm talking to you college students. I'm talking to you teenagers. Do you have a purpose for Metropolitan Baptist Church? What is your purpose in this church? Then are you living your life on purpose? And we see here in Philippians chapter 3, verse number 13 and 14. Let's read the verse and see what it says. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Man, I love the writings of Paul. I like his writings, and I like this verses of Scripture. Paul here is writing this verse of Scripture, and he's writing it from an athletic game standpoint. Here we see Paul introducing in these two Scriptures the races to the Philippian church. And here in these two verses, he's talking about pressing, and he's talking about reaching forth. And Paul is talking in these verses like the games, the races of the games. Now, if you understand anything about Paul, he's in Rome right now. And while in Rome, he's being guarded by the elite Roman soldiers. And the elite Roman soldiers were athletic men. And right now in Rome, there could possibly be some races, some Olympic Games going on. And so as he's watching this, he puts into those verses, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forward to those things which are before, as the image of what we see as the runner. And he places that there. And I think that's very interesting in Scripture, because does Paul witness this, or is he a bystander listening to the conversation of the guards that is there? Right now, women are mad because it's March Madness. And the only thing being played on TV is basketball. And people go to work on Monday, they'll talk about the upset or they'll talk about the basketball game, and there'll be overflow conversation. Is Paul here receiving overflow conversation as he talks about this race? And as he hears this race and them discussing this race and about pressing and the winner barely edged out the other runner, does he then take his pen and piece of paper and in that jail cell, and he says, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forward to those things which are before? It's very interesting to know the mind of Paul here, but that's what the visualization he's trying to give the Philippians at this church right now. And I see something that Paul says in this scripture that's very key that I don't know if you notice it or not. Paul gives the secret of his life in this verse. A lot of people have asked the question, why was Paul so successful in his ministry? How could Paul spread the gospel to a Gentile world and across so many nations and still live for God while in prison? Well, you know what? He gives the secret of his success in this verse. Look at it again. Verse number 13. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. This is what I do, Philippian church. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm going to give you four things that I believe are the secrets to success in Paul's life. Number one, Paul, how were you successful? Number one, make God your aim. Amen. Make God your aim. Paul distinguishes something here. He distinguishes a mark and he distinguishes a prize. One is the object of effort, which is the finish line, the ribbon, the mark. It's the work. It is the aim of the goal. Believe it or not, church family, before I swole up and got fat, and before I got married, those of you who get married, you're going to get fat. Amen. And so with that being said, I used to run track. I was a fast little guy. I loved track, and I loved running track. And man, one of the things that our track coach always used to tell us is focus your eyes on the line. When the gunner goes off and you mark, you get set and you take off, then you look forward and you run. Guys, guess what Brother Allen did when he ran? Huh? I like the people in the stands. I would run and I'd be looking at everybody and everything. I wanted them to see me as I was running. And I remember my mom. My mom would be up there, look ahead, look ahead. I'm like, I'm winning, I'm beating everybody and all this fun stuff. The next thing you know, here comes this guy and he's reaching out in front of me and he beat me. I would get so mad. You want to know why? It's because my eyes were not set on the mark. Now, he has something else. He has a mark and he has a prize. And what it is one is the object of effort. The other is the result of successful effort, the prize. I tell you what, there's nothing like winning first place in a race. There is nothing like it. As you run and compete, I like competition. Miss Ray, you know this. Boomer Sooner, right? I love competition. I love wrestling. I love boxing. I love football. I just like to. Matter of fact, I'll challenge Brother Curtis to something silly in the office and we'll do it just because it's fun. I like competition. And why? The prize that is there. Brother Turner, will you, or Brother Bruce, will you read your verse? Paul here, go, sorry, read that again, brother, I apologize.
So run that ye may obtain.
So Paul here is encouraging the Corinthian church to run this race, knowing that there's more than one person running this race. And he says this, make God your aim. To be successful, you've got to have a God consciousness. Did you know that God sees everything that you do? Whether good or bad, whether we put makeup on it or not, whether we want to pretend it's not there, that God sees that. And not only does God see that, do we realize that there is a prize to be had? And what is that prize? That I might win Christ. And that is a successful purpose if that's all you can do in one day and say, give me Christ. This morning, I think I heard a song that said, I'd rather have Jesus than anything else. Why? Because He's such a worthy prize. So tonight, as a Christian, what's your aim? How can Christ be your aim here at Metropolitan Baptist Church? Number two, concentrate all your effort on this one aim. Look at what he says in this verse here. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. This one thing I do. Brother Chase, read your Bible verse. That is not the Bible verse I was looking for, James 1:18. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That was the Bible verse I was looking for. I messed up. Do what? 1:8. Thank you very much. I have to fire my typist on that. Amen? So with that being said, James 1:8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. In this Christian life, listen, it is difficult because we can get pulled in every area of ministry because we have a desire and we have a burden. When a missionary comes to Brazil and they show us the video of Brazil, has your heart ever been burdened and say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to surrender to Brazil? But then the next week we'll have a missionary to China come and show the need for China, and you come down front and you say, Lord, I'm going to surrender to China now. And then you have the orphanage come in Africa and you say, Lord wants me to start an orphanage in Africa. We can be pulled in every different direction that is inside of a race. But Paul says, this one thing I do. And what is that one thing that you do, Paul? He concentrates all his efforts on one thing to be successful. And what does he do? He forgets those things which are behind. That term, forgetting those things which are behind, is just like a runner as he's running his race. It's looking over his shoulder to look at the steps that he just took. That is what he means at that passage. He says, forgetting those things which are behind, he looks backwards. He says, I'm going to forget those things. I'm going to focus forward, and he's going to reach forward to the front. Now, in order to be successful, we got to focus our aim on something that hinders us. And you know what hinders us? Is our memory hinders us. We've got to forget, number one, the past blessings as he runs this race. The runner has no time to cast his eye over his shoulder to review his previous steps. We have to forget past blessings. Have y'all ever heard the term, well, I used to? That is one of the terms that gets me so upset. Somebody will come to me, well, I used to be a Sunday school teacher. And I say, well, what happened inside? Why did you stop becoming a Sunday school teacher? Well, I used to go to church all the time. Well, what happened that you used to do those things? Is God still not God? Is God still not in the saving business? Is God still not in changing people's lives? See, you know what? The Bible says something on purpose. He says, I never change. And you know what happens? He doesn't change. We do as a people change. We backslide on God. And as we backslide on God, we get away from God. And we say, I used to do this. I live in the happiness of the old blessings. I live in the comfort of the old blessings. Looking forward, wishing that I could get blessed again. When you think God has removed Himself so far from you, God said, I'm right here where you left me, and I'll wait right here till you return. Because He's a Father who loves us. He illustrated that with the prodigal son. And in a church that's progressing, in a church that's moving forward, in a church that's growing, the devil will come in and he'll attack. And when he attacks, he goes somewhere very special. He goes into that flesh of ours because he knows our flesh is weak. And he says, if I can just remove you and get you away from your father and get your eyes off the prize and get your eyes off the mark and get your eyes off the goal, then I got you out of this race. Right now in this auditorium, you hear me, church? There are some of you who live in the used to. You tell me you used to do some ministry. Well, are there still not people who need ministry? You say, I used to do this and I used to could do this. What happened? Why did you stop? Did you stop praising God in choir because God changed, or did your heart change? Did you stop praising God in Sunday school because there was no more children to teach? Or pick them up on a church van or on a Wednesday night class? Who changed, church family? Was it you or was it God? Where's your eyes? What's your purpose? The main reason why people stop ministry is because they quit getting patted on the back. Main reason why people quit ministry is because they say they're too young. They can't do it. I was running a bus route at 14 years old. And you can't tell me these young people aren't mature enough to teach a Sunday school class? Well, then guess what? We failed them because we didn't disciple them right. We can't live in the Eustace, forgetting those things which are behind. Do y'all remember this phrase? And I caught myself wrapped up in it when I drove by the old church. I remember when. I remember a time that the altars used to be full. Well, you know what? The Lord said, son, why was your eyes cast on other people when I was dealing with you? See, altars will be full if you just respond to God. I love that saying, God can deal with me in my seat just as well as he can deal with you in the pew. Well, you know what? He sure is doing a good job in your life. What's your purpose? Because it's evident by the fruit that you're producing. And we'll see some fruit of the Spirit here in a minute, but my question is this. Do you remember when? That runner in the race. On your mark. Set. Go. And as he's running his race, he hurdles the first hurdle. And he looks back, he says, I hit that first hurdle. I did wonderful. But guess what's in front of him? Another hurdle. That runner who hits that hurdle, did you know he's not looking at the first hurdle when he hurdles the first hurdle? Ask any sprinter on the hurdle. He's looking at the next one ahead of that one and the next one ahead of that one. He's not going back to the previous blessings. Paul says this. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. I don't take my eyes off the mark. I forget past blessings. And number two, I forget past sins. What sins are you talking about, Brother Paul? Let me tell you, Brother Little. I wrote them to Timothy, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, an injurious. But I did all of this so I can sulk in my sin. We know the parable, he that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. Right. We know that parable, we live it by heart. But people will live in their mire, they will live in their sin, and they will be back here away from God, wishing that they would get back to God, and God would come to them. And the Bible says such a beautiful thing, I will draw near to them that draw near to me. And if you would just draw yourself closer, he'll draw closer to you, but you're still in that horrible pit. Not realizing you've already been rescued from it, because you don't have a purpose. That's why you continue with the sins in your life, is because you don't live your life on purpose. Sins that many of you struggle and struggle and struggle with. If you would live your life with purpose on the mark, you can get over that sin. The reason why you live in your sin is you're selfish and you like it. That's plain and simple. You want to know why I sin? Because I love it. My flesh eats it up. You know what? That's why you struggle, because past sins. You know what? I lost the 100-yard dash to a kid by 1 second. That is a huge defeat in track, okay? 1 second is a body length ahead of you. Well, I had to run a track meet in Hapeville, Georgia. Hapeville track team outside of College Park, Georgia, had my little wings on my jersey, and I had to face that kid again. And in my heart, I was already defeated. Why? Because I remember when he beat me last time. My coach pulled me aside and he said, son, I want to tell you something. He said, you know that last race that you raced against him? He said, you forget that. This is a new race. He says, don't even look over there. He says, you get right here and you run to the finish line. See, something I didn't know about track at that time was you race the clock. You ever heard that term, racing the clock? Just because you win first place in the heat that you're in doesn't mean you may get to move on. It's all determined on your time as you cross the line. He says, that guy over there, he ain't your opponent. You see that clock ticking at the end of the line? That's your opponent. And see, in this spiritual race, sometimes you can look at the person to your right. You can look at the person to your left. And that's not the opponent that you're running with in this race. You're racing something invisible and intangible. You're racing against the clock. So those past sins that you're living with, lay them on the altar and pick them up and go back home and live different. The reason why is because you're living in the past. Will you look past those past sins and live forward? And then lastly, number one, forget Paul. Number one, the past benefits. He was born from a wealthy family, had a tremendous education, had a wonderful life growing up, became one of the top Pharisees in his community. He had beautiful blessings. He forgot all those things. He had sins he had to deal with. As the church wouldn't receive him, you know how his heart was probably broken as he wanted to give a gospel, but nobody had faith in him to give a gospel. It could have held him back, but no, he says those were past things. I'm going to move past them. And lastly, you got to forget the past achievements. Paul could have said, I'm done. I've already ran this one race. We've already got a church started right here in Galatia. No more need of the gospel. Hey, you know what? I'm tired of being shipwrecked. I'm tired of being snake bit. I'm tired of doing all these achievements. What did Paul say particularly about his achievements? He counted them in Bible study students as dung. Okay? His achievements. Those things he received accolade for. Those things he will receive in glory. He counted them in that Greek word dung, and we won't go there. So what achievements that were done in the past look forward? Listen to this statement. In this verse, he illustrated forgetting those things which are behind as a runner that has no time to cast his eye over his shoulder to review his previous steps. However, he uses those steps to prepare him for the race ahead. Every achievement, every sin, and every benefit of his life, it prepares him to go forward. This is a beautiful example of what we see the Hebrew writer write in Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number 1 and 2. Pastor, read that for me.
It says, wherefore, seeing we all are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses that lay aside every weight, and the sin which does so easily beset us, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
I don't know if you caught it, church family. He uses the racing illustration again that we see here, pressing forward. And this thing saying, you run in a race. Now forget those things and the sin which has so easily beset you. Lay them aside. Now here it is. Jesus Christ even did this. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, that's who we're talking about, who for the joy that was set before him, there's the mark. For the joy that was set before him, there's the mark as Jesus was on the cross. And as he gets in the stalk of his life, I'm going to die for mankind. I'm going to endure all this for mankind. What did he do? He endured the cross. As he was on the cross, the only time he looked left and the only time he looked right was to take people with him. He endured the cross. Not only did he endure the cross, but he despised the shame. You know what kind of shame I'm talking about that Jesus Christ did? Christ died on a cross naked for human man. And guess who saw Him naked? His mama saw Him naked. His brother saw Him naked. His church saw Him naked. Strangers saw Him naked. He endured the shame as they plucked out His beard. As they say, "Are you the King? If you can save others, then save yourself." He kept His eye on the mark. How dare we then? How dare we then, Christian, raise ourselves up above the Lord when His eye was set on the mark? What kind of commitment does God ask of you? To attend church? To be faithful to a Sunday school class? To even live like a Christian outside these doors? He endured that cross, but then He got that prize. What was the prize? Where is my Jesus today? Hey, where's your Jesus today, church family? Good. See, if you serve the same Jesus I serve, He's sitting down. Amen. On the right hand, yeah, of the throne of His Father. And there's something that's so beautiful. When my boys do a good job, I love my boys a lot. I do. When they do a good job, I like to put my arm around them. And I say, "Well done, boy. You made your daddy proud." Amen. Now I realize we put a spirit into human form with this. But can you imagine the "well done"? Can you imagine the "well done"?
Amen.
As His Son is put in human form, and we see this set down in all authority because He gained the prize. Forgetting those things which are behind and looking unto Jesus. We'll go to the last verse and close. Paul says, "I forgot those things." And then he says, "I reach forth." As you see the runner up here in the Greek, it says he's reaching forth. It means to lay your body out. He uses the next word in the next phrase. The only time this word is mentioned in the Greek, he presses. This only Greek word used here means to stretch your body out as far as you can reach to a goal. No other place in Scripture is this word press found. Where he says, "I lay all that I have out for God." I'm reminded of an Old Testament story of a man named Jacob that wrestled all night with God. And he said, "Let me go." He says, "I will not let you go until you bless me." He said, "Let me go." He says, "I will not let you go until you bless me." So God had to do something to him. God had to give him a testimony. And he touched the hollow of his thigh. And as he touched the hollow of his thigh, everywhere he now went, everybody's going to see that testimony in Jacob's life as now he walks a little different. And you know where they're going to get that? They said, "That man been with God. He reached his body out." You wives in here are 40 plus and younger. If your husband won't do it, will you serve God? Hey, men. God is calling you to do something. It ain't wanting this church to die for no reason. That's why you are here. Will then you do something and lead your family? And be a man? Hey, teenagers, if the adults ain't going to do it, will you do it? It's easy to rebel and do the wrong thing. How about do the right thing and say, "I'm going to do it despite what the world wants me to do"? Why? Because there's something to be won with this. Will you stretch your body out? Will you be like Paul gave an example of one who came to him and gave his life for ministry's sake, though he was nigh unto death? He stretched his body out. Press on. First, we see make God your aim. Number two, concentrate all your effort on this one aim. Number three, pursue the aim with wise, eager reaching forward. Press on. And lastly, number four, understand the prize ahead. Understand the prize ahead. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth to those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The prize ahead, number one, is an eternal reward of heaven. Brother John, read James 1:12 for me, brother. Amen. Brother Mark, read 2 Timothy 4:7 and 8.
I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearance.
Why do we do what we do? Pastor, why do we do what we do as men of God? Brother Bruce, Brother Tom, other missionaries in this room, why do we do what we do full-time calling for God? It ain't for a paycheck, is it? It isn't for the glory of man. One day I will stand before my God and I will go before His feet and I will sit before His feet and thank Him for what He did.
Amen.
And as I have nothing to give, only glory I can give is that crown that He gives me to turn around and say, here you go, Lord. This is for you. See, if you want your glory here, God said, I'll give it to you. But if you want my glory here, seek me in private. Well, lay that crown at His feet. I don't want wood. I don't want hay. I don't want rocks. I want to give all the glory that I can to God through hard work of these hands.
Amen.
My life first class that hath enabled me to lay down at His feet. What's the prize? The prize of the eternal glory to our God. Number two, it's victory over sin. Number three, it's freedom over evil. You know what they call this? I call it a burden. Live your life on purpose. What is your purpose? Your purpose is a burden. Say, the Lord burdened my heart for a people that I do not know. And He's burdened my heart for a land that I don't see. And when He placed that burden into my heart, I said, no, Lord. I don't want to go because I have friends here at Metropolitan Baptist Church. And I said, no, Lord. I'm serving with the man that I love and a man that I admire. I don't want to go, God. Why would You even lay this in my lap? Why would You even put this on my heart? I don't want to do it, God. But His burden kept working in my heart. And His call was so evident. And He said, Alan, I'm calling you. I need you in this race. And that burden in my heart is what's making me go. Why? For the eternal reward. For the victory over sin. For the freedom that's over evil to a people who need the gospel. People say to me, you're making the worst mistake of your life. How can I? How can I make the worst mistake of my life if my God directs my path?
Right.
People say, boy, you're not going to like the weather up there. Well, I sure don't like the results of the hail. Man, them people sure are mean. Have you ever seen a woman who's been struck by an angry man? See, people are people. Wherever you are, you tell me they get saved different in Mexico than they do in America? You tell me the same Lord isn't the Lord over all? My question to you is, I have my burden. I have my purpose. Do you have your burden? To understand the burden, you understand the race. Listen to me. Unhappy, uncontent, unproductive Christians have no burden.
You're
Brother Curtis and I was joking one time with him. I was going to make a sermon called If These Walls Could Talk. And I put recording devices in different places of the church. And I was going to just play back the sounds of a church on Sunday morning. And as we gathered up those sound files and started playing them back, it was amazing if these walls could talk what they heard. If I was to replay the sounds, I didn't do that, folks. Don't look at me that way. But here's the thing, as the shock and awe is on some of your faces right now, if these walls could talk, and that's the sad thing, ain't it, people? I'm serious, it's a sad thing. If these walls could talk, what did they hear from you, a Christian of God? In the house of God, for the people of God. What that tells me is where's your burden? Right now, they're building houses right down the street on Boat Club Road. We didn't get a chance to get to those people. And there'll be people dying, go to hell over there. There's an apartment complex down off Marine Creek on the left-hand side of the road. There's apartment complexes all down Quebec. There's an entire city of Azel. There's white settlement that we can just talk about. Sure, there's buildings, but there's no churches. What's the burden? Coming to church this morning, my heart dropped as I showed my wife a news article that popped up on my phone. A 2-year-old little baby was placed in an oven while the mother tried to burn it. Couldn't handle the cries, probably, and took the baby out, and now is at a burn hospital. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Right now, there are women using and neglecting their children. Right now, there are men leaving their homes and leaving their families in this city, in our neighborhoods. Why are you so unhappy? Why are you so incontent? Why are you so unsettled? The reason why is you have no burden. You used to have a burden. You used to be in the race. My pastor won't get up here and beg you. I won't beg you. Because see, what will happen is if you do it for other people, you'll just stop again.
Amen.
What needs to happen is a revival.
Amen.
I'm not talking about a revival of sin. I'm talking about a turning. Will you realize that Christ is worth serving?
Yes,
that Christ is worth living for? Christ is worth being separated for. And you'll put your feet on the mark. You'll put your eyes at the mark. And you'll gain the prize. I close with this last verse. 2 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse number 7 and 8. Brother Mark, do you still have that in your Bible? Can you find it for me? This was his burden. He said, I will press towards the mark. Paul's burden was to reach a world with Christ. What's the prize? That they get Christ and they multiply. Why? Because his eye is set on the Lord. Brother Mark, read 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. Church family, I have a burden. And I'm following the call of God on that burden. Do you have a burden? If you don't have a burden, will you pray for one? Are you willing to take that responsibility for a burden? Because believe me, the Lord will. There's many who need Him. A world needs Him. And it's so worth it. I don't regret it at all. Will you follow that? You have a choice tonight, Metropolitan Baptist Church. What's your burden for your church?
Good.
What's your burden for your church? Well, then if you've identified the burden for your church, then what are you doing about it? What are you doing about it?
The Lord needs you in this race. Heavenly Father, help Metropolitan Baptist Church and its church families to press on. Help us, Father, to take our eyes from reaching forth and looking back and forgetting those things which are behind. Help our steps be as that one in the book of Psalms that you wrote, that blessed man, they're guided by you, Heavenly Father. And I pray as we take these steps that, Lord, we can trust in you. Help people forget the past benefits. Help them forget their past sins. Help them forget their past achievements and make new ones, Father. Father, reaching forward, I pray tonight that someone will decide in their heart tonight to lay all they have out forward for Christ. I pray that, God, that you would just move in their hearts to lay everything else aside and just reach out with all they got to deny themselves and lay it out for you, God. Holy Spirit of God, move. And Father, help them to see the prize. Help them to see you. Help them to see what will happen with the people that's revived, the souls that would be saved, the families that would be saved, the teenagers that would be free from harm. Oh God, show them. Oh Father, I thank you, my Lord, who hath enabled me, that you counted me faithful, putting me in this ministry. Thank you, as Paul uttered those words, I echo them to you in your heart. Thank you, Father. Use this church to do mighty things. Use my family to do great things out of this church, Lord. We pray this all in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Pastor.
Let's stand together, church. John, you get a song ready, but... Nothing static in the work of the Lord. Things change. Things move. I'm thankful that the Lord works that way. There's been a couple folks, they'll say to me something like, well, what are we going to do when the littles leave? Well, we're going to keep doing what we always do. I'm thankful that Metropolitan has a history of being an incubator for preachers. That's good. There's a lot of preachers in ministry as they found their preparation right here. Folks, as our brother preached this evening, we need to keep our eyes on the goal. Our instruction is occupy till he come. And the ministry that the Lord has been pleased to give us here is worthy, beloved. It's for God's glory, for his honor, the sake of souls as we saw this morning. That's our goal. That God might be pleased to use us, the saved, to reach the lost in this community and beyond. Our prayer is, of course, that God would use the littles. He's been pleased to use them in my life along the way, and trust that as they've been a blessing to me, that in some measure, myself and you have been a blessing to them. So we pray for them. But as we sing tonight, please, you do what the Lord would have you to do. Obey Him. Obey Him, please. Brother John.
Page 351. Take up thy cross and follow me. I heard my Master say, I gave my life to ransom thee, surrender your all today. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. I'll follow Christ, who loves me so, wherever he leads, I'll go.
Come down here and kneel in the altar here, and Miss Alicia, would you come back and kneel here? What I'm going to do, maybe a little different, but I'm going to ask all of our preachers and any of you men that would like come. We're going to pray for Alan, ministries he's given to her, and ladies, please, would you come? And any of you feel led to do that, please come and just surround Miss Alicia, and we're going to ask God to use them. Guess what? Ohio needs Jesus too. And I consider it, you know, there's few people, few men in the ministry that I'm closer to than Alan Little. I joke about it, but he's very, very dear to me and precious to me. Miss Alicia, indeed, as well. And these kids, these children, they're like my second group of grandkids. We love them. Please, as you feel liberty.
Let's pray. Wait for everyone to come up forward before we start, but let's all go before our Lord. Our Father, we come before you on this very important night as we as a church have a member that we have had part of us, and now we are sending on their way to continue the work that you have for them. We do not like to see someone leave us, but at the same time, we're overjoyed that this church will have a part now in the ministry of another church, that we will be able to send someone that has spent time with us. And just like the Apostle Paul said that, well, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase, we've had a part in this little family now for a while. And now as we send them forth to continue the ministry that you've called them to do, we pray that you protect them, first of all. Give them safety. Not just because of the dangers of travel, no, but because the enemy that they will have as they try to serve you. That enemy will try to attack not only the ministry and the church that they're serving in, but even the family that you use to bring about the ministry of that place. We pray in a very special way as they go to this place in Canton, Ohio, that you would protect them in a very special way, but also that you would give them souls, Father, that you would go ahead of time even now and break up the fallow ground, prepare that land that he will be preaching in, that Miss Alicia, she will be dealing with the ladies as the little family, the children, will also have an impact upon the young people and the children there in that church. May you even now prepare their hearts. If there are hard hearts there, break them. If there are needs, that you will provide with the spiritual resources that they might be met. But most of all, Father, we pray that you would give them souls. May we see a growth in that congregation there, not just in number, but also in spiritual maturity, in strength. And may they be able to emulate what you've allowed us to do here. Because this church can only be successful as it can reproduce itself in many others, which is our greatest desire. They go with our blessings and with our prayers and with our heartfelt thanks for what they've done for us as they go forward and serve you. For we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. It's no use y'all making your way all the way back there. We're going to head towards the gym, the fellowship hall. And they're going to be around this week, so you get by and hug on them through the week. Express our appreciation, of course, and our commitment to them. Let's go ahead and ask the Lord's blessing on our fellowship, and the food that's been prepared for us this evening. Father, we bow before you tonight. Indeed, we're so grateful, so thankful for your amazing, amazing grace. Well, we're here together tonight as the church family that call ourselves the Metropolitan Baptist Church. Thankful that you'd be pleased to call out an assembly for yourself right here. We're grateful for the light that we can be to this world and to this very community. And indeed, Father, you know the heart of this preacher. How thrilled I am for Brother Alan and Alicia and the children, the opportunity, the door that you've opened for them. But you also know you know my heart for them. And so, Lord, please set thy hedge of protection about them. God, I pray that you'd be a shield and a fortress for them. I pray, Father, that there would be as well that hedge of thorns to protect them from all attackers. And even to keep them ever so close to you. Lord, I'm praying that you would grant the special divine discernment and leadership and direction that only can come through your word and through your spirit upon my brother's ministry. Lord, I pray. Oh God, I pray for Miss Alicia. Realize that sometimes those wives that you've given to us as men of God deal with great burdens. So I pray you do for her and encourage her. Thank you for these children, Lord, how precious they are to us. Praying, Father, as we watch them in the years to come, that you'll raise up from Alan's sons, Alan Alicia's sons, servants for your glory. From these young ladies, that you'd use them, Father. And Lord, as I think of this new child, this baby, Lord, I pray you'd work in a special way in that child. Pray you'd, along the way, grow him and help him to see his need of Jesus. Lord, save him. Lord, please, all I know to do as this man's pastor is to plead with you on their behalf. And Lord, please bless our fellowship tonight. Thank you for those that have labored so that we could have the refreshments and the time of fellowship. And again, Lord, we love you. We know tonight that very few of us, would even know each other if it wasn't for Jesus. Certainly we wouldn't be gathered in this building tonight if it wasn't for that work that you did in each of our lives. And Father, the beautiful, beautiful bond that you create in our hearts one for another through Jesus. We love you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you ever so much for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Let's eat.